Hello, I am Gary McLaren and representing Oregon as part of the Dogwood Corner Solar Project. First off, it's good to be here, first time in Christian County, and hearing some of the folks speak passionately about both sides of this issue, I can understand why. Christian County is a beautiful place, and I've enjoyed being here with my first visit. As I said, I am from Pennsylvania, and I can speak for, I think, almost all Pennsylvanians that I'm glad that the election is over. It was a difficult election, very contentious, and I would say that just had a conversation before we started here. It was, I think we had to pick between the lesser of two evils. It was a tough choice. I am from the western half of the state, and that's the better half of the state versus Philadelphia, the eastern half. But it's a pleasure to be here today. So November 10th is actually a special day for me. If I just take a minute and say that as a veteran of the Marine Corps, November 10th is the signing of the Marine Corps. So do we have any fellow Marines here today? None? That's surprising. So it's the birthday of the Marine Corps, 10 November 1775. Every Marine sort of celebrates today, and it's an honor for me to be here today. So I just want to take a few minutes and just update on, just in general, the development process of any project, sort of generically, and then also make a few comments specific to Dogwood, and then close with one ask of the court, one ask of you today. So I'm going to touch on just the project inception, the development process in general, specific reasons why the Oregon project was located here. I would like to just touch on just economic benefits of the project. I would like to touch on also the existing county plans, and then a few general questions about the ordinance and want to ask of you. So Oregon project here at Dogwood Corners began in late 2019. I think one landowner spoke very eloquently today and mentioned that her father had signed the lease in 2020. I would just like to point out that the development process of a solar project usually spans like 4 to 6 years. It's a very long, drawn-out process. It involves a little give and take in how active you are in the community. We try to pace ourselves through development as we hit critical stages of the process. And throughout the development process, the public involvement kind of comes and goes. Some periods are more active than others. But it's a very long, drawn-out process. And today, there's actually increased regulation that makes that process even longer. I've been involved with developing renewable projects for about 20 years, and I've seen the evolution of them, and it's getting harder and harder, longer and longer with increased regulation. And here recently, with a big push towards renewables, I can say with confidence, there's also a similar push for increased regulation that really drags these projects out over the life cycle. We often begin with a plan for a project, and that plan changes 10, 15, 20 times as we go through the development cycle. And that involves getting information from the community, from participants, from non-participants, and that process is important, and just the feedback we get is an important part of the process. We just had a major part of that process in September at the church, where we basically introduce the project to more and more people, and it's always a little bit sensitive as to when you introduce a project, but I can tell you that it always begins after we have a critical mass of landowners in an area that are willing to sign up their land for it and that support it. So we never come into a community where we're not wanted, and we're not wanted by large landowners willing to put up their property for lease purposes. So, as I said, we recognize there are passionate people on very both sides of this matter. And when we came here, there was a couple of things that really drove us to this location. And I would just comment on the last speaker in the public comment period who mentioned the strip lines and the better locations for them. Well, at Oregon and throughout the industry, that those are locations that are highly sought after. And in fact, at Oregon, we do believe in utilization of those mine lands, brownfields, and repurposing. And that is a large part of our business. But in this location, there were several ingredients that we saw that drove us here. So there were willing landowners willing to look at their farming operation and take a portion of that out to supplement their income, to maybe subsidize the remaining parts of their farm operation. So there were landowners willing to sign their land up for lease. So that was a critical part in having us come here. And that's their private agricultural land, and it's their choice to do that. So we wouldn't be here if that wasn't the case. And number two, since inception, we've really looked at the environmental impacts of the project in this location, and we realize and recognize that they're pretty minimal in comparison with solar projects or renewable projects pushed in other locations. And then three, the location of the existing transmission infrastructure that crosses through this project area is actually critical. Solar projects on ag land or on mine land, they're not proposed in locations where you don't have that critical infrastructure that's adjacent to a project. So it being adjacent, the transmission line that cuts through some of the farms that we have under lease is a necessary ingredient to a project being viable in that location. Without it, you would need to develop or build extensive transmission line to get to some distant point. And transmission lines themselves, overhead transmission lines, are kind of a contentious proposition in any community in the first place. So regarding the ordinance, I do think, and there was a comment to this effect as well, that you as a court are doing the responsible thing to bring this matter to hand. And we 100% support the court and their decision to put together an ordinance. We think it's responsible, and we think that having rules laid out provides us with business certainty, and it also provides protection for landowners in the community. So as I get into the ordinance, and I have seen the draft, I would say that we're supportive of it, with the exception of one thing, and that is the 2,000-foot setbacks that the county that you proposed that are embedded in it. We've seen this in a lot of other locations, and 2,000 feet is just it basically represents a taking of landowner rights that want to participate. 2,000 feet is approaching a half a mile. In locations in other parts of the country, other states, we've seen such a large setback be required. It's evidence of an attempt to basically destroy or prevent a project from happening. So when I look at Christian County in this area, there's only so many transmission lines that can go through the county. And I know there's some projects, we saw one yesterday that's under construction. There's relatively few. You might see a handful of projects ultimately that come to Christian County, but I think the beauty of this area and the agricultural, as some have mentioned, is not at risk at all. I think that you will see some solar projects that pop up, but I think there are very few locations where that realistically can happen, and there almost always going to be coincident with power lines or the substations. So, in conclusion, I do have one ask of you, and that is that you hit the pause button and don't rush to enactment of an ordinance that has a setback distance that represents a taking of other people's land and their rights. I ask that you look at it in a balanced way and you let the process unfold. Hit the pause button, let the dialogue continue. Try to find a balanced approach towards weighing the rights of participants and non-participants of the project area. And again, don't do it impulsively. Use a process of reason, rational thought, and come up with a balanced ordinance. So I ask that you hit the pause button. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Megan Stahl. I also work with Harriet Oregon, and seen you here before. I was here in June, and also at the public meeting. And I want to tell you that since then, we've been hard at work on this project, and we're listening to the community. I mean, like he said, we came and presented the project because we wanted feedback. That was part of this ongoing development process. We've listened to the community's concerns, and since then we've been analyzing the layout and looking at adjustments that we can make to accommodate the concerns of the community. I've listened to the subsequent fiscal court meetings, and I've heard continued comments on the issue, and we've spoken with additional landowners, and we've even looked at other ordinances. Hopkinsville has a proposed ordinance, several counties in Kentucky have ordinances. I've looked at the state regulations. There's a model zoning ordinance. There's a lot of resources out there, and I just want to say we want to work together with you on this. Like Gary said, you know, let's pause and have a discussion, because I think you've only heard negativity. You've only heard from the people that don't want the project to happen, and you can see here today that there are people that do want the project and are supportive of renewable projects. So I'm just going to go through a couple of details of the proposed ordinance and let you know what we think as far as how we've listened to the community and how we think we could address their concerns. It seems from what we're hearing that visual impact is one of the biggest concerns here. And that's the reason, I think, for the proposed 2,000-foot setback. And like Gary said, it's overly restrictive of the property rights of the participating landowners, and it's discriminatory against the solar industry. You know, it pinpoints this industry in particular. And like I said, it's inconsistent with the other ordinances that we've looked at. The other counties in the state have 150 feet or 250 feet from residences, not 2,000. So it certainly goes far above those others. And we're, like he said, you know, we're supportive of an ordinance, and what we're proposing based on community feedback is 500 feet from a non-participating residence. We originally came in here with a project that showed 150 feet from residences, because that was kind of the standard process. We looked at other county ordinances, for example, and 150 feet was relatively standard. However, you know, we hear you. We understand that that's not enough here. So we're saying that 500 feet we think is a reasonable number. And we think that can be effective at protecting not only the neighboring landowners, but the participating landowners' rights as well. And as far as the ordinance, the other thing I want to mention is it also lists 2,000 feet from other uses as well, not just the non-participating residences. It lists public roadways, churches, schools. And really, there's, from what I can see, there's really no basis for that in any of the other ordinances that I've looked at as well. It looks more like let's kill the project by not giving them any opportunity to build close to anything, anywhere, as opposed to a protection for the property owners in the area. So we looked at Logan County. We think that's a great example. They proposed 100 feet from public roadways, 250 feet from schools and churches, hospitals and cemeteries, and we think that's very reasonable and would support an ordinance that has those setbacks in it. And just to give you an idea, you know, I mentioned that the 2,000 feet, it seems like a way to kill the project. That would take the potentially usable area of these participating landowners that want the project down to about a quarter of what they could have used for their property. So you're telling them they can only use a quarter of what they would have been able to use otherwise. The other thing on visual impacts is screening. And like I said, with a 500-foot setback, we can put in screening that we think would be effective, and we hear the concerns of the neighbors, and it's appropriate for screening to be in place to protect those neighboring landowners for their enjoyment of their property and protection of their property values as well. We know that that's an important thing. So I do know that the draft ordinance has some information about screening, and we generally are supportive of what's in there. We would support a minimum 7-foot fence. That's consistent with the National Electric Code. We would want that fence to be wildlife permeable to allow wildlife to be able to move through the fenced area. A double row of staggered evergreen trees that would mature to a height of 12 feet. And also provisions for success of that screening. You know, if some of the trees die, we would come back and replant within a certain amount of time. And that's consistent with the other ordinances that we've seen across the state. Another one is decommissioning. And I know that Wayne had just mentioned that, and we've heard that in some other comments in the past. And I understand that, you know, that is a concern. This is a long-term project. You know, we're proposing for it to happen over 30 years. So I understand the need for some certainty there. And what I do want to say, though, before I get into the details of the decommissioning, is that these projects are set up to allow future use of the land from either what it was, and in this case, agriculture. When we come in to do these projects, there's vegetation under the panels. It is not like we are coming in and compacting and laying gravel and killing, you know, the ability for future use for agriculture. In fact, in other parts of the country, a lot of people plant shade-tolerant crops under the panels and use that space. So the agriculture can happen right along with it. And you know, that may not be appropriate here for the types of crops that are grown, but there will be vegetation under there. There will be a few gravel access roads for operational purposes. The decommissioning plan could include for removal of those, decompaction of that area, so that the entire land is reusable for agricultural purposes. I know that the current leases, you know, and agreements that we have with landowners, it includes information about it, and I understand that, you know, maybe that's not enough. The State Siting Board requires decommissioning plans to be filed with the board, and we will do that. And we support that it be in the county ordinance as well. I think the county ordinance mentions that, you know, it would be prepared by a registered engineer and updated not less than once every 5 years, and include costs, manner, financial assurances, revegetation, soil decompaction. These items that I'm talking about, all of that could be laid out in this decommissioning plan, and we think that's a great idea to provide that certainty that it will be taken care of. Just have two more. Sound is another one that we've heard mentioned as a concern, and that's actually not in the ordinance. So, you know, maybe that 0.7 is that we're hurrying a little too much here, because a lot of people talked about sound, and maybe that's something that we should pause and think about adding into the county's ordinance. It is in some other counties' ordinances. It's not listed here. However, these solar modules, of course, they do use electrical equipment, but it's relatively equivalent with the frequency that's in your house. So it's not going to be a creator of sound. And at the fence line of the project, it's generally inaudible. However, like I said, the other thing is the State Siting Board, they require us to look at sound. So we will submit a plan to the State Siting Board. So they're looking at it, and we'd be fully prepared and happy to do that for the county as well. So that may be something you want to stop and think about as well. And then wildlife. We've heard a lot of comments about the fact that wildlife, you know, changes to their migration patterns and their habitat is a concern, and we understand that as well. And I want to tell you that the project is designed to avoid impacts to natural resources. There are streams and several wetlands. We've gone out and looked at the proposed project area, and we're going to avoid those natural resources. the panels would be set up into kind of groupings called bays that avoid those natural resources. And we, like I mentioned, we'll put a fence around it, but those fences would be around the groupings of panels, not around the entire project itself. So it would leave these stream and wetland areas open as natural corridors. The corridors that the wildlife would generally take anyway would be left open. And then, like I mentioned, any fencing that is put up would be wildlife permeable, and that would allow smaller animals to move through the fence. So again, I've seen some other ordinances that include habitat enhancement plans. That's not included here, but that may be another thing, you know, that we could discuss. We're happy to provide a plan that lays out all of those things and shows you what our commitments are and what we would do in those areas. So those are the details of particularly of the ordinance that I think are important to consider and that we'd like to work together with you on. Aside from that, we've talked a lot about property values, and I absolutely understand that's a concern. Not only the value that someone places on your home, but there's a personal value of how you use your home and how you enjoy it, and we understand that. And I just want to point out that solar projects, they maintain the rural character of this area. They are low impact. You know, they can fit in with the character. There's no lighting, no increase in traffic, negligible noise. And I understand it's something different to look at, but it's not a high rise. It's not a housing subdivision. It's not something that's going to be a much higher impact development that would come in and really change the landscape completely. Renewable projects can help supplement families' income to keep the farms in their family. And, you know, I know there's concern about taking this land out of use for agriculture. Well, some of the farmers are still doing, you know, row cropping in other areas. This has been seen as a responsible way to use generational agriculture, where maybe you take this section of land out of use for the next 30 years, but you're maintaining the ability to bring it back in. The land has been recharged, the nutrients have recharged, and it's great farmland to use again at some point. So in closing, I would just ask that you consider community support. Like I said, you really only heard from the people that don't want the project to come in, but there are community members out there that support it. Some of them have come here today. And in fact, since we came in September for our public meeting, we've heard from landowners that want to participate in the project. There are others out there that are interested, supportive of renewable energy, and they want to be a part of it. So I just want you to listen to both sides of it. One community member who really wanted to be here, but he couldn't be here today, he asked me to read a quote for him. This is from Jack Dixon. And he said, "I strongly support renewable energy and the community benefits that go along with it. I also support agriculture. It's important to note that solar projects support generational agriculture by allowing nutrient recharge so the land can return to agricultural use when the project is decommissioned. Above all, however, I support property rights. Excessive regulation of solar projects is an infringement of my property rights. I urge the court to consider that solar projects can be developed in a manner that addresses neighbors' concerns but also allows their constituents to use their land in a responsible way." So I'll just finish by saying that it seems like there's some fear that, you know, ordinances come in and we're steamrolling through the process, and we're going to come in and we're going to quickly try to shove this project in without consideration, and that is not the case at all. Like Gary mentioned, this is a 4 to 6 year development. We're like in the middle part of development where we're making adjustments now. We're listening to the community and we're making changes. And the other fear that, you know, that the panels will overtake Christian County. There's very few places where all of these things come together to make a project work, and there are a limited number of opportunities. So I just urge you to listen to this feedback, listen to the feedback of the community members, and follow the right process and have a discussion about it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. If you would, Senator, let me just speak on let's keep in mind that the solar panel ordinance itself is we'll discuss next. But at this time, we are going to allow questions from the audience, the public, and also from the court members. Is that correct? Okay.
I'll say that we're, this is a special call meeting, so we're limited to what's on the agenda. And right now we're operating under old business C, Dogwood Corner solar panel update and ordinance consideration. So I think that's sufficiently broad enough to allow what the presiding officer has indicated.
So I'll start off the question. I'd like to ask a question that it may have been answered before that I haven't heard. How high up in the air would the panels go when they are seeking the best sun?
So there are basically two types of solar technology that are employed. One is called fixed tilt, and that is when the panels are fixed. They're oriented actually east-west, and they all just generally face south. And in that scenario, for a fixed tilt system, it varies slightly, but the total height is approximately 8 feet to the top of a tilted panel, roughly 8 feet off the ground. That's fixed tilt technology. The other type of technology is a tracker technology, and that's actually what is being constructed in Hopkinsville right now that I took a look at the other day. Those modules are actually lower than the fixed tilt. These are panels that are aligned in a north-south fashion. There's usually a single post, and they're generally roughly six feet off the ground, 5 to 6 feet off the ground to a flush panel or a panel that's parallel to the ground. And during times of the day, it tracks the sun, so it would tilt to the east in the morning to catch that morning sun. And at that point, the top of the panel, if it's a standard one or two panel wide, would roughly come to the same height. Call it in the worst situation where it's tilting the furthest point to the east, or tilting the furthest point to the west to track that sun in the west. That's when you're going to get the highest panel height. So, depending on the ground conditions, how far you need to embed the posts, sometimes that impacts the total height. Vegetation that you plant around the panels also sometimes impacts the height, because sometimes with higher vegetation that goes around the panels, you want the bottom of the panel when it's tilting to be off the ground. So generally, rough order magnitude 8, at the worst situation, around 8 feet plus or minus.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Senator.
I've got a couple questions if I could. First, does Orion have a contract right now that somebody's going to purchase this generated electricity?
Yes. Maybe I'll stay up here just a couple minutes.
That'd be great.
Right now, we don't have a contract to purchase the power, and that's not uncommon at this early stage.
Do you have an application?
We do not have an application in to any entity for them to purchase the power. The project's a little too immature for that.
How many different landowners are involved in this purchase? I don't need an exact, but a roundabout.
Approximately six signed landowners today, and as Megan said, interest from a few others, joiners to participate.
Now, the rest of this is just a statement, but when y'all are saying that there's only certain points in Christian County that these can come, from the offers that I'm hearing being made and the farm owners that are being contacted, that seems to be a very big footprint in Christian County. And I'm not arguing the fact, I'm just telling you what I have heard and the farmers that I've talked to, that this is not it's just a big footprint in Christian County that people are looking at land, and they're looking at large tracts. So, And I'll address one other thing.
I would just say to that, though, that there is a big push for renewable energy. And there are a lot of companies out there that are opportunistically looking to make land grabs. And I've been in this business for a long time. I think you see a lot of projects that get proposed, you see a lot of land that maybe gets signed, but the reality is that maybe one in five of those projects actually ever makes it. I'd say that's a rough, if you look across the country, I'd say that's kind of a rough, there's no guarantee this project here we've been talking about today is going to make it. I'm saying that ingredients are there. I am aware there's an incredible land grab across pretty much the entire country, and that's driven by the current administration and actually just the general trend to move towards renewables that's been accelerated with this current administration.
Addressing the 2,000 feet, we are not telling that landowner that they cannot lease that 2,000 feet to you. So we're not telling them that. That's up to you whether you take the contract or not. We're not telling them they can't. And I feel like on the noise thing, that's part of the reason, you know, that I see a 2,000 feet. You know, no, we don't have it addressed in there, but that falls, you know, that's one reason that's there with a variance. You know, I feel like that we are being open that there's a variance there. You know, if you come in and you've got two or three property owners that don't have a problem with that variance, you know, y'all come, we do a variance, everything keeps going. So I feel like we are working on both sides, especially with that variance there.
Yeah, understood. But as Megan said, 2,000 feet represents drastic overregulation, and I would challenge the court to find another location where a technology that's low profile, that doesn't make any noise, has such a large setback distance. I don't think it exists, and it only exists in locations where communities, counties are trying to completely prevent and over-regulate.
So, I think if we were trying to prevent, then we would just come in here with an ordinance that says we don't want solar farms. You know, I don't think that this court is against solar farms at all, but I do believe that if there's a place for it in there, there's a spot that would be great for this, and we can't do anything else with it. But I don't think that we are, you know, we're not trying to say that we're against solar, but we are trying to protect everybody that's going to be around this thing. That's our purpose here. I'm sure there are some for it, but this has been going on for almost a month, and I have not received one phone call from anybody that has been for it.
Yes,
so you can see on our side, you know, what we're hearing from the community is what we're expressing. And that's a big person.
And it's most often the case in life that the minority is the most vocal. And you hear people that are supportive are not as adamant and vocal against. It's my view, my experience in 20 years, it's the opposition that gets the loudest. Supporters.
And in my position as an elected official, I listen to all sides. But if I've only been contacted by one side, then I have to feel that's the community's feelings on me. And that's like that's not something to be argued. That's just my point of view.
I guess my comment is that we are an agricultural community. And my reservations against and the reason for the setbacks is the fact that we're taking this land out of production. And we want to continue to be the number one county in the state of Kentucky for the production of agricultural products. And this ordinance, as presented, would perhaps not allow that to continue to happen by having these setbacks. But I think we have to look. There is a net sum of money increase by taking these farms out of production and turning them into production of electricity. I don't know what that number is, but I know what's important for my constituents, and that is the production of agriculture.
Vicar, I'd just like to mention, you know, an acre of ground is going to produce about 700 loaves of bread. And, you know, I think, of course, my background is in agriculture. And Christian County agriculture, even though I haven't farmed, has provided a livelihood to me and my family, along with many, many, many other people. When you think about the impact that agriculture has from a perspective of how many of our local citizens benefit, whether it's directly or indirectly, there's a lot. I'm looking in the room, there's a producer back there that hires retired people. You know, that supplements their income. And the gross domestic product of our agricultural products are, I think, vital. That's the thing that we need to look at. But I'm also a little offended about coming in here and asking us to hit the pause button. Because if y'all came in here in June seeking a resolution that we had the day before, we asked for it to be laid on the table, and that was denied by this court. But now all of a sudden we're looking for a pause button. So I want to be a community partner, but first and foremost, I want to protect this community. And if you all want to come in and be a partner, I think that's fine, but we need to have an element of trust in asking us to push a pause button when we were asking from an initially to communicate with constituents. We're also told back in June that you all had communicated with the neighbors. Everybody was okay with it. That was wrong until September. And when one individual neighbor that owns an acre lot was going to be 100% surrounded by this, I'd hate to be the banker that had that mortgage, because I know what that impact would do for that property value. So I'm sorry. I think I agree with others about solar. It's got its place. But we've got to be very careful with as far as what we allow for to be put on and to protect our most valuable asset that this community possesses, and that's our land.
Okay, Senator.
Thank you. I really can't say it better than Squire Peterson and Squire Gillen there. I'm glad that the gentleman who's very kind, and I met him just this morning from Oregon, is here, but he talked about Christian County's beauty and says that this won't impact it, but he's only just now coming here, and he's not going to have to live next door to this. He's going to go back to Pennsylvania, and that's fine. It's where he lives, but he's not going to be impacted by this like property owners that are in this room. And I think it's pretty bold of him to, with respect, I think it's pretty bold to say that this is a taking of property rights of those landowners. As has just been pointed out, this affects not just the landowners, and I stood up here when I was here two or three weeks ago when I first addressed this court about this issue, and I said I want to protect individual landowners and their rights, but when their rights encroach upon my rights and the rights of other landowners around them and affect the land around them, that's where the problem is. And if there's a taking, it works both directions, sir, not just for the property owners that you've managed to get on a lease. It affects men. It affects everybody else that's in this room that's here that opposes this. And it's insulting to argue and to use a legal term, a taking, as if we're trying to force by operation of law in this ordinance take away some rights. We're here to protect and defend the rights that we have on our own daggone land, with respect. And Squire Gill, I'm so glad you took the words right out of my notes. Hit the pause button. In the same remarks, this gentleman talked about the frustrating policies and regulations they've got to deal with, but then asked you to delay and wait. And Squire Peterson, the reason I'm so glad that you mentioned that there isn't anything about sounds because of the 2,000-foot setback. And I'll remind you again where that came from. We didn't just pull it out of thin air. The city of Hopkinsville's ordinance has 2,000-foot. The state statute that refers to setbacks has a 2,000-foot setback that can apply in certain circumstances. I don't really care what Logan County did. We borrowed their language when I proposed a draft to this body. But I'm here for Christian County folks. And again, Squire Peterson was right. We're not stopping anybody from using that land. And look, I appreciate that there's a financial benefit for those landowners. I get it. I mean, it's a handsome price that's being paid. per acre, and I don't blame them a bit. I don't blame them a bit for taking advantage of that. And if it only ever affected their land, more power to them, man. More power to them, but it doesn't. And the mitigation measures that they've talked about, that they've addressed, are theater. We're going to have a wildlife permeable fence. How is that going to interrupt the wildlife habitats and flow of their migratory patterns across our farms and our land? We're going to have a 7-foot fence and panels that might go 8-foot. When community members tell me that at the meeting back in September at the church there in Dogwood, they were told 18 to 20 feet. We've had testimony before this body that the noise is minimal. And he just mentioned that they make no noise. Maybe he was just being conversational about it. I think it's important to be accurate. There are things that they just can't fix by mitigation, by trees, even if they replace them. And they freely acknowledge that it won't be Oregon that owns this 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, whenever it is, and 30 years from now when it's done. So they're here taking all the bullets and slings and arrows from me and others today, but they can do that because they're not going to be around 30 years from now when we've got to deal with the fallout when it's all done. We're asking you to do this because the state siting board, and again, the state statute has that 2,000-foot language in there, along with the city, but the state siting board yields to local ordinances when they're in effect. That's why we're asking you to do this. And the state siting board doesn't live in Christian County and doesn't own farmland in Christian County or have homes in Christian County. And they often waive many of the requirements that would otherwise be put on a facility like this, a solar energy system. I think there was an effort to come in under the radar, Squire Gillum. I certainly wasn't asked how I feel about it. My mother wasn't asked how she feels about it. I think to this day, no one's come to her and asked. I don't think anybody's come to my brother and asked, either of them for that matter, that have homes out there. But they've suggested that the community was all on board, ready to move forward. We're not. I don't want to stamp and dump on the property rights of people, and I wouldn't want them to do that to me. But if I did something with my land that affected the land next door, I think it's a responsible thing for us to stand up and say no. And that's why we're asking for that. Thank you all for the time.
Thank you, sir.
Morning, Court. Brandon Garnett, 4520 Old Edwards Mill Road, Hopkinsville Community. A lot of discussion has been had about this ordinance and solar panel farms in our community the last few months, and I want to address a few things that this lady spoke about a minute ago, and she mentioned that these projects don't move fast. They move in 4 to 6 year intervals. About a month ago, there was a cornfield out on the Pembroke Road, and I don't know if you've been by there, but it's pretty unsightly today. And in a matter of, I'll call it 4 weeks, and I don't know that exactly to be 4 weeks, might have been three, could have been five. They made tremendous progress in putting up solar panels in the heart of a main corridor of our community that when people come here, they go by it. Industrial development prospects, people that visit our community, it's right in the heart of the bypass of Pembroke Road. It moves pretty quick from what I can tell, real, real quick. There's about 30 to 40 men out there working. I would project that in the next month, the panels will be, they'll be up there. So contrary to what she said, I think they move relatively quick. She asked that you all hit pause on this, when in fact there's been a tremendous amount of work done, and Senator Westerfield spoke to some of that, but in my hand is a state statute and ordinance for this. The state has done a lot of work in the past on setting forth these setbacks, and they've done that with a lot of work and input. The city of Hopkinsville has done that. Mr. Britton, and I don't mean to call you out, but Mr. Britton's the director of our community development services organization in the community. And they don't just hire people to run that office off the street. He's got a lengthy background in ordinances and zonings and other things that affect communities. He'd done a tremendous amount of research around this. He presented to the city council a few weeks ago with a lot of really good knowledge and facts about solar panels, made a recommendation on the ordinance that is before you today. So we haven't rushed through this. The city hasn't, the state hasn't, and the county hasn't. I ask you to be mindful of that. So we really don't need to hit pause because there's been a lot of discussion about this from a lot of different entities. I also want to say that the solar panel issue doesn't just affect us in Christian County. I want to talk about that just a second. Philip might have mentioned this before when he spoke to you, but he's received calls, visits, and letters from roughly 8 to 10 different companies wanting to put solar panels on his farms. And understand, we're not talking about a couple hundred acres. We're talking about thousands of acres, and not just in Christian County. He's received it in Christian County, Todd County, Logan County, Simpson County, all over the place. Those counties surround us. They too are important agriculture communities, and Logan County was mentioned. It would have been great if Logan County would have hit pause. Logan County got overwhelmed with this thing, and it hit them all of a sudden. And they didn't have an opportunity to really understand and consider the negative repercussions of solar panels. Last week, Mr. Hunt was there. I spent 3 days in Nashville with 300 farmers from Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, and there were speakers that were brought in. And one of the main things that they discussed were what are the top issues affecting rural communities and American farmers today. You know what number one was? Solar panel farmers. After he spoke, I took some time to visit with some farmers from other states, and I asked them what they'd done on the front end to be proactive and get ahead of this, and they said, we didn't see it coming. We woke up one day and there were thousands of acres of our land that we rented from neighbors, was taken out of production agriculture, and it was solar farms. They didn't see it coming. These are smart people. Didn't see it coming. I'm thankful that we got to see this coming, thankful that you got to see it coming, because we could wake up and see the same thing. I don't have to tell you the story. That's not who we are in Christian County. Farm across the road from my house was owned by a farmer at one time. He's passed away. His family now owns it. It's a large tract. A TVA line runs through it. Solar company's gone from harassing the women that own it about renting it to trying to buy it. Agriculture has a huge economic impact on this community. Jerry mentioned this a minute ago. The turn of the dollar from agriculture and the raw product produced you can't put your finger on it. Past hundreds of years in the future, we can't put our finger on it. Huge economic impact in this community. It affects people's family. It's where they work, it's where the money comes from, and it's how we employ people in our community. I want to say this. There's people here that own land that have spoken in favor of this today, and I respect them, and they have a right to come up here and speak about their land, and I appreciate them coming here and talking to you today. But what I do want to tell you, and no disrespect to you, they don't live here. They don't raise their families here. Their kids don't go to school here. And when all this is said and done, they're going to leave town, and we ain't never going to see them. Thank you. If you don't have a copy of the state ordinance, we can get that.
Thank you, Mr. Garner.
You know, one thing that I'm aware of, I'm an investigator, and I sat right here when that fellow came, Jerry, talked about it. We asked questions. We operated in good faith that we were being told the truth. That didn't happen. Until they found out about it. And they let us know. So No one in this room created this situation except for one person, and you know it. So let me just say this to you. Their concerns must be addressed with facts, not words, because there's no integrity in that guy. And documentation. It'd been nice if you'd had pictures and some, or give us facts about the other projects you've got going on in the country, about how far back they are, or the longest one that you have the farthest back, and see how effective that is, and give us a report or pictures of that. That would have been helpful, to be frank with you. To describe a solar power height in the air is not nearly as effective as a picture passed through this crowd for them to see it. I completely concur with everything that's been said. And for anyone that's been involved, as far as the folks who want to do this, all due respect, please know that. Everyone on this court has been frustrated by this process because of one person. I think we've done our due diligence here. We operated in good faith previously. We're operating now with due diligence having been accomplished. I think that what you're going to see take place here is you're going to see an active discussion about between folks and also this court with how we're going to go forward. I do agree that I believe as an elected official, I just completed my sixth campaign. My first primary responsibility as any elected official in any country in this state is to take care of the people.
That's right.
Bar none. That's the first responsibility. I do not want to see our status as the number one ag county in this state diminished in any way, shape, or form by anybody or any entity, with all due respect. I'm a retired police officer and a pretty darn good investigator. I watched you when you spoke. You just got to know. We've done our due diligence here, or we wouldn't be sitting here.
Yes.
This is just for everybody's reference, it's a rendering. It's basically a mock-up of what the project could look like with approximately 500-foot setback and some screening panels.
Just for the record, what I see is a picture from a look like the location from where it's set back a little bit. I see a line of pine trees, and the solar farm is behind it. I can't see any of that. That's helpful. That's not interrupting.
Any more questions from the court or the public for this Dogwood Corner Solar Panel Group?
I move we accept the ordinance as is.
Okay, excuse me. Okay, just hold up our Squire Peterson. We'll go to new business now. And we will take up the solar panel ordinance. And this would just be the discussion will be limited to the court. And Mr. Sawyers is going to read a summary of it.
Actually, I don't have a summary. This is the ordinance, and this will be the first reading of what would be Christian Family Ordinance Number 2204, an ordinance relating to the establishment of minimum setback screening and decommissioning requirements for solar energy system installation in Christian County, Kentucky. Whereas the Christian County Fiscal Court wishes to advance the use of solar energy by all of its citizens, businesses, and industries, and whereas properly designed land use standards can prepare communities for greater access to solar energy, and whereas whereas KRS 278.704 sets forth the minimum setback requirements of merchant electric generating facilities in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and whereas KRS 278.704.3 pursuant to the Public Service Commission staff opinion 2019-006 authorizes the fiscal court to establish setback requirements, property boundaries in residential neighborhoods, schools, hospitals, and nursing facilities by ordinance, with said setbacks having primacy over the setback requirements set forth in subsection 2 and 5 of the same statute, and shall not be subject to waiver or modification via request for deviation by an applicant to the regulatory board, which governs electric generating facilities, and whereas the Christian County Fiscal Court desire to exercise its authority pursuant to this subsection, and whereas it is intention of the Christian County Fiscal Court that the setback requirements shall only apply to solar energy systems here and after SES that are governed by KRS 278.704. These setbacks shall not apply to any other type of merchant electric generating facility as defined in KRS 278.702, otherwise governed by KRS 278.704 that does not meet the definition of a solar energy system defined below, and this ordinance shall not apply to any solar energy system that is otherwise exempt from the setback requirements of KRS 278.704. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Fiscal Court of the County of Christian, Commonwealth of Kentucky. 1. Definitions. Residence, a home, abode, a place where an individual is actually living at a specific point in time. Building, any structure having a roof supported by columns or walls and intended for the shelter, housing, or enclosure of any individual, animal, process, equipment, goods, or materials of any kind or nature. Merchant electric generating facility means, except for a qualifying facility, as defined in KRS 278.707, an electricity generating facility or facilities that, together with all associated structures and facilities, A, are capable of operating at an aggregate capacity of 10 megawatts or more, and B, sell the electricity that's produced in the wholesale market at rates and charges not regulated by the Public Service Commission. Solar Energy System, SES, a device, including its components and subsystems that collect solar energy for electricity generation, consumption, or transmission, or for thermal applications. SESs are in turn divided into three types depending on how the system is incorporated into the existing land use. 1. Integrated Solar Energy System, integrated SES. An SES where the solar materials are incorporated into the building materials such that the building and solar system are reasonably indistinguishable, or where the solar materials are used in place of traditional building components such that an SES is structurally an integral part of a house, building, or other structure. An integrated SES may be incorporated into, among other things, a building facade, skylight, shingles, canopy, light, or a parking meter. 2. Rooftop solar energy system, rooftop SES. An SES that is structurally mounted to the roof of a house, building, or other structure does not qualify as an integrated SES. 3. Ground-mounted solar energy system, ground-mounted SES. An SES that is structurally mounted to the ground and does not qualify as an integrated SES. Ground-mounted SESs are subcategorized as follows. A, small-scale ground-mounted energy system, small-scale SES, which is a ground-mounted SES with a footprint of less than 2,500 square feet. B, intermediate-scale ground-mounted energy system, intermediate-scale SES, which is a ground-mounted SES with a footprint of between 2501 square feet and 10 acres. C, large-scale ground-mounted solar energy system, large-scale SES, means a ground-mounted SES with a footprint of more than 10 acres. Decommissioning plan for ground-mounted SES. A plan prepared by a licensed engineer that establishes the party responsible for the decommissioning, the anticipated life of the project, the estimated cost for removal of the SES facility, the cost for restoring the land to its original condition, and all other planning information required by this section. Exempt solar energy system, exempt SES. An SES that is a facility or municipally owned electric system or public utility regulated by the Kentucky Public Service Commission or Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is exempt from planning and zoning requirements under KRS 100.324, physical construction SES facility. The excavation or movement of earth, erection of forms or structures, or similar activities undertaken in the construction of an SES facility. This term does not include any activity or construction undertaken prior to the issuance of all required certificates, approvals, and permits, if any, is required under KRS Chapter 278 and other applicable state statutes, SES footprint. An area calculated by drawing the perimeter around the outermost SES panels and any equipment necessary for the equipment to function, such as transformers and inverters. The footprint does not include perimeter fencing or visual buffers, nor transmission lines or portions thereof that are required to connect the SES to a utility or customer outside the SES perimeter. Siting board regulated SES, an SES that constitutes a merchant electric generating facility under KRS 278.702, the construction and siting of which is subject to review and approval of the Kentucky State Board on Electric Generation and Transmission Siting. A merchant electric siting facility is an electricity generating facility or facilities that, together with all associated structures and facilities, are capable of operating at an aggregate capacity of 10 megawatts or more and sell it. The electricity produced in the wholesale market at rates and charges not regulated by the Kentucky Public Service Commission. Two, Christian County Fiscal Court hereby establishes the setback requirements for solar energy facilities, which are governed by KRS 278.704, as measured from the outer edge of the near solar panel as follows. Boundary line of an adjacent property, unless such setback has been reduced or waived in writing by the adjacent property owner or fiscal court has granted a deviation 2,000 feet, any residence, building, or structure, permits thereto, existing at the time of the application for permits with the Kentucky Electric Generation and Transmission Siting Board, 2,000 feet, schools, 2,000 feet, churches, 2,000 feet, hospitals, 2,000 feet, nursing facilities, 2,000 feet, right-of-ways for any publicly dedicated or maintained roadway or utility, 2,000 feet, cemeteries, 2,000 feet. The fiscal court may grant a deviation in its discretion from the requirements of this subsection upon a finding that the proposed facility is designed to and is located beneath the goals of KRS 228.210-280, 278.010, 278.212, 278.214, 278.216, 278.218, and 278.700 to 278.716 at a distance closer than those provided in this subsection. Access to the site must be controlled by a fence of at least 8 feet in height with a vegetative landscape buffer provided between the fencing and the property line. The fence shall be equipped with screening to help shield the facilities and equipment from view. Screening shall consist of, excluding small-scale ground-mounted energy systems, perimeter fencing or screening shall be provided. Screening shall, A, consist of an 8-foot-tall fence and a double row of staggered evergreen trees, minimum 5 feet in height at planting and maturing to a minimum of 15 feet in height. B, evergreen trees shall be planted exterior to the fence and shall be set back no less than 15 feet from any property line. C, screening shall achieve an opacity of 90% to a height of no less than 8 feet within 3 years of planting. D, screening shall be installed within 180 days of the start of physical construction and shall be maintained until the decommissioning of the SES is completed. And E, all unhealthy, dead, or non-compliant plantings shall be repaired or replaced within 90 days of such occurrence. 4, property owner shall be responsible for a decommissioning plan prepared by a registered professional engineer at the expense of the property owner and updated not less than once every 5 years, containing the following. A, the anticipated life of the project and defined conditions upon which decommissioning shall be initiated. B, the estimated decommissioning costs, including removal of the solar energy system and related foundations, pads, underground collector lines and roads, transmission lines, and the revegetation and restoration of the property, including soils, to its original condition and all calculations and supporting the decommissioning estimate. C, the manner in which the project will be decommissioned, including the provision and the timetable, such timetable not to exceed 5 years, for the removal of all structures and foundations, and for the revegetation and restoration of the property to its original condition. D, the manner of SES component disposal, including the estimated recycled value of components. E, a copy of any contract containing specific agreements regarding decommissioning. And F, a surety instrument in an amount and form acceptable to Christian Fiscal Court sufficient to cover the cost of decommissioning the SES in accordance with the approved plan. In the event the property owner defaults in its decommissioning obligations, surety instrument shall be updated and revised in conjunction with the submitted decommissioning plan not less than once every 5 years. All other state and regulatory laws that are not specifically addressed by this ordinance remain in effect. Six, the provisions of this ordinance shall apply to all unincorporated areas within Christian County, Kentucky, and the siting, construction, installation, and decommissioning of any new SES system on or after the effective date of this ordinance. An SES in operation or which has begun physical construction prior to this ordinance's effective date shall be considered to have legal nonconforming status in accordance with KRS 100.253. Seven, severability of the provision of this act or its application to any person or circumstances held invalid. The invalidity does not affect other provisions or applications of the act that can be given in effect without the invalid provision or application, and at this end, the provisions of this act are severable. Eight, any person found in violation of this ordinance shall be guilty of a misdemeanor, shall not, and shall be fined not less than $100, not more than $500. Each day of violation shall constitute a separate offense. Nine, this ordinance shall be in full force in effect from and after its adoption and approval as provided by law.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sawyers. We've heard the ordinance read, and we'll see what the pleasure of the court is.
I'd move that we adopt
the ordinance 2204, is that correct? On first reading.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Squire Gillum and a second by Squire Peterson. So,
any other discussion?
Question.
Question.
Call the roll.
Squire Gustafson?
Yes.
Squire Wells?
Abstain.
Squire Ferguson?
Yes.
Squire Levy?
Yes.
Squire Peterson?
Yes.
Squire Gillum?
Yes.
Squire Bowman?
Yes.
Motion passes.